It's nice to look out on your faces again after an absence. And to see some new faces to look at too. I'm spoiled. Today we're going to give our attention to the words in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. If you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 2, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." Before going further, let's pray. In the words of your Son Jesus, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh has no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." And in Paul's words, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." That, Father, is the reason why we come to you. And ask that your Spirit would grant us understanding of the words of life that is recorded in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, those two verses that I shared, they're in a context of verses 11 through to 18. If you want to have a quick browse quickly through those verses from verse 11. We've been working our way through Ephesians. And what we've found is that the death of Christ made a momentous, tremendous change to history, to the way that God has dealt with mankind. For 1,500 years prior to Christ's death, the people of Israel were the people of God, and they were the exclusive people of God, the distinct people of God, the separate people of God. They had the covenant, they had the law, they had circumcision. It was all theirs. And if anybody else wanted to come or have access to God, they had to come in through Israel and through circumcision. Israel were separated from the mainstream of humanity. I kind of picture a dam full of water. That's Israel. Separate, elite. And then the dam wall bursts. And they become part of humanity, just like everybody else. The Jewish sinners are like the Gentile sinners. They need forgiveness from Christ. The Jewish Christians are like the Gentile Christians. They've come to God through Christ. And there's a great equaling through the death of Jesus. So verse 16 tells us that Christ had died that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Reconciled, both. But how were people to know? How were the Jews to know about this great change? How were the Gentiles to know about this great change? Romans 10:14 says, "How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" Preaching. That's the word that introduces verse 17 to us. Ephesians 2, verse 17. "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near." When did Jesus preach to the Jews and the Gentiles? We know when he's on earth. He did preach directly to Jews. It's talked about in the book of Acts. As for the word he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed. So Jesus did preach good news of peace to Israel. But also while he's here on earth, he kind of preached indirectly to the Gentiles. He never preached to large groups of Gentiles, but when you think of the things that he said, for example, the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." There his message was obviously going to be to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. In his parable of the good shepherd, Jesus also said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." And then he said, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." So there again, there's an indirect preaching to the Gentiles that is saying, this message is for you also. Then there's a parable of the great banquet with one version, the king gave a great banquet and invited those people to come. And then he sent out his servants to get those who were invited, and they refused to come. And so he said to his servants, "Go out into the highways and the byways and bring them all." It's open to everybody. The invitation is for all. And so even in his parables, indirectly, he was preaching to the Gentiles. However, most commentators tend to think that this is talking about after his resurrection. And he preaches through the apostles and others that share the gospel. That verse I read from Matthew 28 about making disciples of all nations, Jesus goes on at the end of that and says, "Behold, I am with you always." So as they were going out there doing the preaching, Jesus was there with them. He was present. Peter says, "It was revealed to them," these are the Old Testament prophets, "that they were not serving themselves but you. And the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven." So the people that were preaching the good news were preaching by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And who was sending the Holy Spirit? Christ. Christ was. Paul says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each." So it was the Lord working through the apostles and others to bring the message. And one passage which I think we should all turn to, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 18 through to 21. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So again, God is making his appeal through the Christians. And one example we see of this working together is the example of Lydia. Remember the lady who was at the prayer meeting outside the city? of Joppa and Peter. Sorry, Paul went there. So on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. As one person said, Paul preached to the ear, Christ preached to the heart. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. He came and preached peace. Peace is a key word in this section. Skipping back to verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Peace is the very character of God, the very character of Christ. Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Who are those who are recognized as relatives of God, you might say? Peacemakers. And in John chapter 14, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so Jesus came and preached peace, as is his character. Before we move on to the next verse, there's a couple of thoughts. It says here, and he came. He came. We didn't come to him. He came and preached peace to us. By grace, as I said earlier in chapter 2, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. He came. He came. And he preached peace. How unusual. While we were still sinners, God loved us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we deserved wrath, he preached peace. And he came to both. He came to the Jew, he came to the Gentile. He came to both without distinction. He preached to both. He preached to both. He preached the same peace to both. Peace with God and peace between Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles. A full peace. Moving to verse 18. First word, for. This verse is going to tell us the reason why peace can be preached to both Jews and Gentiles. And the reason is, for through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Both of us. Notice that it's through him we both have access. It's not that the Jews have access one way and the Gentiles a different way. Through him, we both have access. This is part of the massive change which Jesus did when he died on the cross. Changing that exclusiveness of Israel to the general invitation to all to come to believe. It was through him, not through relation to Abraham. Jesus said to the Pharisees, from these rocks, God can raise up children to Abraham. But it's not through circumcision that the people had access to God. Not through the law. It wasn't through having an exclusive national covenant with God, but God had been the king of one nation for approximately 1500 years. It was through him, through Christ. It was not through living in a certain geographical location, such as the land of Israel. It was not through worshipping in Jerusalem, as Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." It's not through visiting the Jerusalem temple, where God had previously chosen to make his name dwell, and where Jews were expected to go 3 times a year. It's not through presenting tithes, offerings, and sacrifices. It wasn't through relying on a priest to sacrifice for you, or even on the high priest to enter the Holy of Holies once a year on your behalf for the forgiveness of sins. That's all gone. It's through Christ alone. Through him, we both have access. Paul says in Timothy, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, Jew and Gentile, which is a testimony given at the proper time." Verse 18 continues, "We both have access in one spirit." No distinction. Not one spirit for the Jews and a different spirit for the Gentiles. Remember on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell upon the church, Peter preached a sermon and he said to the people, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children," for the Jews. He also said, "and for all who were far off," which could mean the Gentiles, but probably meant the Jews who were living abroad. "Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So the Spirit was for the Jews. And then what happened when Paul went to preach to Cornelius? When they heard the gospel, the Spirit fell on them. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. The Jews had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now the Gentiles had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they went back and reported to the church. And you might like to look at this one also in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verses 15 to 17. "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" The same gift. There's one Spirit for the Jewish Christian and the same gift of the Spirit for the Gentile Christian. Paul's taking pains here in Ephesians to say that distinctions have gone. We are together now as one body. We have the same preaching, the same message of peace. We have the same Spirit. We have access. We have access. We both have access. Verse 13 said, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." He's talking to the Gentiles. 1 Peter 3 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us," that's Jew and Gentile, "might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." He brought us to God. He brought us near. We have access. Now, that word access in the original language is often used in the sense where somebody brings somebody to somebody. In other words, you don't just walk into this person's presence off your own bat because of a class distinction, a hierarchy difference. You can think of Esther. She wanted to see the king, but she didn't just march in. She had to be invited by the king. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight, and he held up to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter, and the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to the half of my kingdom." So she had to wait to be invited. It's like the Prime Minister of Australia. We don't just think, "I'll go and see the Prime Minister today." "Yeah, where's his office?" "Okay. G'day, mate." It's not like that. You have to be invited, make an appointment, and usually somebody has to announce you. Announced? You've got to be announced. You see it in the old movies sometimes when there's some great big event put on by a rich person, and the couples come in one by one, and they're announced. Duchess of York, so-and-so, his wife, whatever. And they announced into the company. And so there's that grand sense of the word access. And yet Paul surprisingly doesn't say, "And we've been given access to the great king. We've been given access to the creator of the universe." He says, "We've been given access to the Father." The Father. The Father, who in Ephesians chapter 1 is described as the one who gives us grace and peace. Also in chapter 1, the Father who blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The Father. And it's the same Father for both, without distinction. The same Father for the Jew as for the Gentile. Ephesians 4:6 says, "One God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and through all." You'll notice there also the verse, you probably picked it up already. "Through him, God the Son, we both have access in one spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to the Father, God the Father." The evidence in the Bible of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, Paul has spent some time, and we've been spending some time too, just trying to make this momentous change clear. That the gospel is a gospel invitation given to all. And it's given without distinction. There are no superiors between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews are not superior. The Jewish Christians are not superior. The Gentiles are not superior, and the Gentile Christians are not superior, as Paul warned us in Romans 11, not to become proud. Just to conclude, I'd like to give an illustration from the Bible, because I think it shows some similarities and will just mesh things together nicely. It's the illustration that Mel read at the beginning, before the message, from Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15, if you'd like to just turn back there a moment. We won't read the whole thing, but I'll just make some comments. So here in Ephesians, we've been reading about two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. And the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, verse 11, starts off, "There was a man who had two sons." So the number's right. Now, one of these sons we're going to illustrate as being representing the Gentiles, and the other, the Jews. I'm not saying this was the original meaning of the parable. I'm just using this as an illustration. So the younger son took his share of the property, And he took a journey to a far country. Remember, Ephesians said that the Gentiles were far off. And he squandered his property in reckless living. And then further on in the story, he decided to go back to his father, to no longer be called a son, to be a hired servant. And what do we find? When he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. He came. He came, we read in Ephesians. He came and preached peace to us. It's not us approaching him, it's God approaching us. And here we see the grace of God. By grace you've been saved. And the father said to his servants in verse 22, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, preaching peace. For this my son, he's not a servant, he's a son. He has access to the Father. Just like the Gentile Christians have access to God the Father. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. And then there's the older son. So obviously the older son's got to represent to the Jews. And he is having his own problems. Verse 26 says, but he was, verse 28, sorry. He was angry and refused to go in. His father came out. His father came out. Christ came. Christ came and preached. Grace. And he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. Verse 31, and he said to him, son, this one also has access to the Father. Son, you are always with me, always access to me. And all that is mine is yours. Preaching peace. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And in that verse he preaches not only peace between the Father and the Son, but peace between the brothers. Both Jews and Gentiles have been given united access to the Father. Let's pray. We give you thanks for the tremendous change that Jesus made in his death on the cross, that he opened salvation. He opened the new covenant to all, whoever believes. We pray that this message will stand firm in our hearts in the years and decades to come, Father. For there are those who try to make one race or one people superior to the others, one group of Christians superior to others. Let us not forget that in Christ, we have the same mediator. We have the same spirit. We come to the same Father. We enjoy the same message of peace as one another. United access to the Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.